Welcome to another episode of Winning Through Culture. I'm excited today to be here with Tiffany Grimm. Tiffany and I actually met on a 24-hour Unbreakable Leadership Endurance event, which I'm sure we'll end up talking a little bit about. She's a pretty remarkable person, and I'm excited to have her as a guest today. Tiffany's background is very unique. She has traveled into 25 different countries in her lifetime, studying holistic medicine, yoga, physical therapy, indigenous wisdom, and cultural dynamics, and got a chance to talk about a lot of those things. I'm going to have her share a little bit more about her background, but she lives out in Colorado with her fiance, Aaron, and her four-year-old son, Trey. So she's also working with women in leadership as a coach for both accountability and running retreats and speaking. So really dynamic person. Excited to have you with us today, Tiffany. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you, Tim.
So Tiffany, I know you work with a lot of leaders and you're very focused on creating healthy, thriving cultures. I'm very curious, as you think about a thriving, healthy culture, and I'm kind of where I want to go with this is looking at the attributes, both masculine and feminine, that go into the creation of a healthy, purposeful culture, recognizing that, and I think it's fair to say there's a shift in our society taking place that went from a very male-dominated, very command and control focus to a more empathetic, collaborative focus. And it's the weaving together, in essence, of the best of the masculine and feminine characteristics that you see in really strong cultures. I mean, can you expound on what you see there or what you've learned and what you're integrating into the work you do?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the power in the merging of the masculine and feminine, right? And this goes back through history and philosophy and arts and all of the magic in the world, right? Is that when you have a thriving culture, you've got this pulsation of all of these characteristics working together. And you have different people who pull in, right? Or who embody some characteristics more than others. You have people who are maybe more, have more of the masculine characteristics or more of the feminine, be them men or women, right? But this thriving culture, a leader can recognize who those people are, right? It's just like leadership qualities, right? Who are the people that do X, Y, and Z? Who are the people that can really take an idea and move it forward? Who are the ones that are really the people, right? Who can communicate effectively and clearly and compassionately? Who are the ones that can kind of go behind the curtain and work on all this stuff and then bring it forward into a new way that's really digestible for the consumer? So it's like all of these different characteristics have either a feminine or masculine kind of undertone. But if we look at like the thriving cultures in the industry today, we see cultures that hold clear boundaries, that have clear expectations. Of course, we talk about mission and values and that being the foundation of any, you know, any thriving company or culture. You have a senior leadership team, right, that communicates with compassion, that exemplifies all of those values, that's able to lead by example. Companies that lead with their heart and are willing to actually go with the flow of the cycle of nature, right? Because that's very inherently feminine, okay? Is actually knowing that we've got this really big push phase, but then we've got the down phase after this. We've got a dissolution phase. We've got to actually just pause for a bit. We can't be go, go, go all the time because we know what that leads to. It's burnout, right? So how do we really honor this like cyclical nature and this very feminine aspect of even the whole company itself? A thriving culture is really just focuses on empathy and lives a purpose, right? Stands in its truth and really just embraces both this container that holds the power and then the power within it that flows through. That's the merging of the masculine and feminine.
Well, and I'm curious as you talk about burnout, because that's a real topic these days.
Yeah.
We're how many months into a new way of living with COVID? 20-some months. And I am curious as to what are your suggestions from a leadership perspective to not only be attentive to that, but to kind of anticipate and prepare your people in your organization to not hit that wall? Because a lot of people are hitting that wall these days.
Right. I think it takes a strong step back. We're even doing this at EXO. So we're just taking a step back and recognizing like, what are the needs, right? We had needs before this point. I mean, every month the needs could change, right? But overall, like, what is it that helps a company feel feel like they're able to keep up and breathe, knowing that they've got families and they've got all these other things, the other 16 hours of the day, including the need to sleep, which a lot of them even can't do that, but really opening space to listen and understand, okay, what is it that you need, right? How do we restructure our, you know, even policies or the way we do things to support the needs of this very virtual world? And chronic fatigue is a real thing, right? I mean, chronic fatigue is same level as burnout, if not
the next level. If not worse, yeah.
If not worse, right? So listening and understanding and then restructuring, okay, what are the things that we can implement? How do we help them create more sustainable opportunities throughout the day where you have breaks between meetings or where you have opportunities to get outside? Or what are these things that can help support the people as we're really moving through the virtual space?
Yeah, and I want to kind of expound on something you said. I know you do workshops, you speak to groups of women, women leaders. I'm very curious as to, as you do that today, what contributions do you see women making to sustainable cultures? And again, I don't want to say just in this time of prevalent burnout, but in a really, I think, a societal shift that's taking place.
Yeah, I mean, empowering women means that we hear everyone, right? Mm-hmm. And when we've really had to, and a lot of other communities intersectionally have had to as well, just like scratch and claw to get to this point. And even the science we use to promote human performance, right, is not to par yet. So when we feel heard, when we feel like we're understood, when we feel honored in that space, then the whole team can uplift each other. When we create space for understanding, create the psychological safety to be able to express our needs, right? Even like, I don't know how many women I know that have been challenged with hormonal issues and no one at work knows, right? And the way that that affects their day to day, where as if you have a company or a leader on a team who's saying, hey, let me know what you need. Here's providing the opportunities to really live a healthy life, both inside and outside of work. Then you have like creativity expanding. You have true alignment with number one, you have a company that's open and willing to listen and empower you in your own biological power, right? And then you just feel more productive because you're able to work in those times that you do feel productive and maybe back off on the times, or at least just do kind of the slower work at the times when you don't feel like it. And so the women who feel a part of the team and feel heard and seen are skyrocketing, right? Like this alignment can take companies like far beyond their imagination.
Well, Tiffany, I mean, you're talking about thriving, and I know you built a model, Thrive. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that model specifically and the work you do.
Sure, absolutely. So I built, well, it kind of built itself through me. It
came to be over a period of time.
Exactly. Well,
and a lot of ideas.
Download. So I also experienced a pretty strong level of burnout. It was at 23 that I was already burnout.
Pretty young.
Yeah, that was young. That was 19 years ago. I'm dating myself right now. But I was playing basketball through college, and then I ended up adventure racing. It was just this push, 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 push. And I ended up in a state of chronic fatigue. I was amenorrheic, which means I didn't have a menstrual cycle. So that in itself just kind of zapped my own infradian rhythm. And it sent me into this like the depth of self-reflection and soul searching on who I was and how I was integrating these masculine and feminine qualities. And it ended up that I was on a 4-day vision quest in the wilderness. And it was, I was sitting in a 9-foot circle for 4 days. And I heard the last probably 2 hours of that period, I heard Thrive come through. And it was just like, it downloaded in and it's like, it rattled it off. And it just became apparent to me that this was going to be the model for myself and anyone around me, particularly women, to really stand in their most authentic and sovereign version of themselves. So Thrive is an acronym that stands for Establish Trust, Listen to Your Heart, Tune into Your Rhythm, Move with Intention, Clarify Your Vision, and Connect with Empathy. And as we embrace all of these, then we're able to truly be in our truth. And you want me to talk through a little bit about
that? I think it'd be great. I mean, again, I think it's unique.
Sure. So establish trust means that you're able to lean into something, right? And feel supported. So that's the foundation. Like if we don't have trust, then we can't grow roots and we can't grow up, right? Trust is a byproduct of grounding ourselves, establishing a firm foundation inside of ourselves, inside of our homes, establishing clear boundaries. This is where those masculine qualities of trust and boundary and creating that solid container are really important. And then also building a solid support circle, right? And that's where these companies come into play, where they could probably be part of that support circle or that employee if they mm-hmm. were open to it, right? And then listen to your heart. Once you're able to establish this container of trust, then you can tap into your heart's desire, right? You can tap into what's important to you. You can tap into what your values are. You can really go inside and lead from that place that is deeply connected to who you are at a soul level. There's a company called HeartMath, and their research mm-hmm. states that the heart actually sends more signals to the brain than the brain does to the heart. So the heart actually has its own intelligence, and there's practices that we can do to really connect with that. And when we tap into it, then we feel more connected to everything around us. We're able to really like trust what we value and then lead from the heart. And then tune into your rhythm, or the R, as I mentioned before, right? We have to tune into our body's needs, spending time in nature, tracking our rhythms, doing breath work, all of these things that help return us. And, you know, as I even just speak about this, like these could be practices for men too, right?
Yep, absolutely.
These aren't just women practices, but a lot of women in the workplace, they kind of adopted, right, more masculine practices because of the nature of everything, right? Because mm-hmm. of the nature of the corporate world, because of the nature of human performance research and how it's telling us to do all of these things, right? Go spin every day and do high intensity workouts for an hour a day, which is actually not good for us. So how do we reconnect to the rhythm that is very natural and very inherent in each of us? And then the next is move with intention. So all actions begin with intention. We've really lost the art of ritual and ceremony over many centuries. And they're actually really essential for creating clear delineations between the past and the future, right? Rituals and ceremonies are like, cross the threshold into this. And a lot of times in corporate, right, we're like, okay, done with that project, move on to the next. Okay, oh, you're almost done. All right, move on to the next. And there's no real time to integrate, to celebrate, to honor what we all just did, and then to move on to the next thing and really make a clear delineation. So intentions help us activate, they help us to really slow down, right? And activate the parasympathetic system so that we can consciously make the choice to move on to the next phase, to move on to the next even task, right? We actually kind of recommend mini rituals, especially as you're working in your home, mini mm-hmm. rituals between your workday, and then when you head into personal life, like close the computer, brush yourself off, shake it off, go outside, put your feet in the grass, like do something that kind of ritualizes every single day that says, I am done with work. I'm heading into my personal life. I'm going to engage with my personal relationships. I'm going to see my children, whatever it is, walk my dog. And then like those things are clear. And that's becoming even more important now with all the working from home, right?
Pattern interrupt, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then clarify your vision. So the vision sets the tone for the thriving. This comes from one of my mentors. If you're super clear on what you want to create, why you want to create it, and how you want to create it, then your confidence skyrockets. And your confidence is the motivation, the drive, the intention that brings your highest vision into reality. Right? So we have to identify our limiting beliefs. What's stopping us from actually manifesting this vision, creating a vision? We have to visualize our lives in detail. We have to create a cohesive vision. You know this of all people, right? With our teams and our organizations. And then do the same thing with our partners and our families at home. This vision is what we're really living into. Why are we doing what we do right now? Because what, right? And then the last one is communicate with empathy. At the end of the day, we're here because we want to be in relationship, or we're in relationship no matter what.
Whether you want to be in it or not, you
don't want to be, yeah. But we are.
Yeah.
Right? So we have to create the space to honor our differences, or else it's just going to be a rough ride. We have to create the space to build each other up. And so the way we can empathize with each other is to actually see through each other's eyes. And sometimes that's super hard, right? Mm-hmm. Change means you have to see through someone else's perspective. You have to be super comfortable with being uncomfortable, because that means that you actually have to maybe be open to shifting your opinion and shifting the way that you do things, the way you say things, the way you see things, right? Like, as you talked about kind of the patriarchal paradigm, like there's just so much input, right, from media and society that kind of governs the way things come out of our mouth. And we don't even know that it might be offensive because we've just been doing it for so long. So how do we create those spaces? Again, the psychologically safe spaces to be curious, to say, I don't know, to really listen to someone's point of view and listen to a woman talk about what her experiences are at work. I mean, I talked to quite a few of our senior leaders, like, you know, when I get hot flashes sitting around a senior leadership table, I got to just step outside and say, I got to go for a mini rain shower real quick. You know, like, and how do we bring humor and the ability to say, hey, I see you. How can I help you? Right? How can I support you? And so we listen and then learn to really ask better questions. And that's being empathetic, right? So that kind of encapsulates all of these principles around thriving.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. And certainly empathy is an interesting missing ingredient, it seems, in our society, and the inability to listen to one another and see things through one another's eyes. So I think that certainly is an important part of a healthy culture and is an important part of your Thrive model, because without that, it's all me, me, me. I love the model because it really does speak to the fact that, you know, we're all in relationship. Human beings are relationship oriented. You can't have trust. You obviously got to trust yourself, but trust is with others. Mm-hmm. Being in tune to your heart is important. But again, being in tune to others' heart and the rhythm of where they are in their life versus where you are, being intentional in how you show up and who you show up with. And then I think on the vision side, it's the adage of who are you going to achieve that vision with, even more so than how are you going to achieve it, but who are you going to do that with? And can't do any of that without empathy. So it's a great model. One of the things that when we were doing the 24-hour challenge together, I guess that was over a year ago now, where we just got to walk 24 hours, mostly in the rain. Yeah. You just very down-to-earth person, Tiffany. I know you bring that approach to the work you do with the associates and audiences that you speak to. And I don't know that it's a secret, but I mean, what is your, I'll say, formula for success?
The special sauce. I don't even know if I have a special sauce. But maybe that's just what it is. You know, I just be me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how can I be the most authentically me? And I listen for where I'm meant to be. I gravitate towards what that is. I tune in, right? Like, I have to really slow down to make decisions sometimes because I was a point guard. So I could see the court pretty well. I can move quick. I can move quick and I can see where the congestion is and I'm not going to dribble that way. And I can see where the gaps are. So that also allows me just more of a broad vision when I go into groups or even one-on-ones with people, is the ability to see, but just remain fully compassionate, right? I thrive on just holding the mirror up to someone and saying, you see all this greatness. Mm-hmm. Right? You see all this greatness. And where's your shadow?
Yeah.
Where's your shadow? Maybe that's something we might want to pay attention to as well. If you can't find it, let's dig a little deeper. Let's uncover where it is. Because those are the pieces, that's the deep work that in a fast-paced society, we don't do a lot of. I've had a lot of blessed opportunities to be able to do that with various people across the world. And such important work, because that's the root of all these issues, right? If we're not willing to really go there and uncover what our biases are, where we feel stuck, where we're pushing against ourselves, then all of these things, all of these recommendations, all of these additions are just going to be band-aids. So I just truly thrive on helping people see themselves and see each other in a more human, compassionate way.
Well, I certainly think your authenticity has a lot to do with your success and how you show up. And I think the Yeah, as I mentioned in the intro, the work you've done, the travels you've had, the experiences you've had have really given you a chance to take a deep dive into who Tiffany is and develop a high level of self-awareness, which is a topic I frequently discuss on this podcast. As leaders, it's difficult to truly be an impactful leader if you're not in tune with who you are and, to your point, what your magnificence is and where your shadow and stuff is and how that shows up. So what advice would you have to a woman entrepreneur, or business owner, or leader as they kind of look to, I would say, again, where we started our conversation around the integration of masculine and feminine characteristics? Because again, I do think that's very real. As a leader myself, I'm very much, this is the mission, let's take the hill. And the minute we get there, there's not room for a breath. It's just, what's the next thing? Mm-hmm. So that's different rhythm. And that was a good reminder as I listened to you. There needs to be a little space sometimes. But what advice would you have for a woman, an entrepreneur or leader that's looking to be their best version and show up in an empowered way?
Yeah. One of the masculine characteristics is competition, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm a competitor. Like, I will have a race with my 4-year-old and try to beat. But at the same time, like, there are times we don't have to compete. We certainly don't have to compete with ourselves or each other. I'll retract that. I'll say we compete with our former version of ourselves, right? And say, how do I evolve? What's the evolution here? Because a lot of times when you compare, that's one of them, right?
Yeah.
Stop comparing.
The comparison trap. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, deciding what's important to you is first and foremost. What are your internal values? What do you stand for? What's your truth? And from that point, stand in that all the time. And as women who have the infradian rhythm or have these biological fluctuation of hormones, we actually feel very deeply in, like, our body sensations. Our bodies will tell us when it's a good decision and when it's a not so good decision. And so if we can slow down enough to identify what happens in our bodies, am I feeling tense? Do I feel closed off? Do I feel, you know, is my heart rate beating? Do I see just dark everywhere, right? Like, start tuning in and opening up to what the signals are that are leading you to a life of higher truth, right? And a deeper connection with who you are and what you came here to do. So spending time in nature, spending time self-reflecting, spending time solo so you can really listen for that is always my number one, because we're going so fast and we're very ambitious. And any woman that's a leader and that's an entrepreneur is like, what do I do next? Right? Just getting to the next thing. And I think we miss the opportunity to just soften and slow down and allow things to come to us, which is another feminine trait. The other ones would be just seek to understand, continually seek to understand, communicate with compassion, be open to feedback. And again, just be so strong in what your beliefs are, what you stand for, who you are, and move from that place. That's the trust, right? That's where the trust comes from. And above all, back other women around you. Like, again, it goes back to the comparison. We don't have to be knocking each other out. We've all worked hard to get here together, right? So hold each other up and lift each other up. And any of the men that want to be involved in them, let them in. This isn't like, keep the men out, keep the masculine, they're toxic, patriarchy, all this stuff. I don't actually like all of that, because it doesn't give the men who are willing to be in this conversation a chance to actually really support. And I think you're one of those men, Tim. So.
Well, thank you. Yeah. You started with something that I think has been a challenge for me to learn, which is sometimes you got to slow down to go fast in our society of go, go, go. And I got a chance to be reminded of that this past summer. Mm. Yeah, I really like your point, Tiffany, around it's easy to compare. And I think most people find themselves either coming up short in their comparison of others, or their ego takes over and they inflate their sense of who they are. But if you measure yourself against the best version of yourself and who you are, who you were, and who you're becoming, that's a much healthier, much healthier way to go, and creates a much healthier culture, quite frankly.
Absolutely.
Again, as a business owner, it's measure yourself against your ideal, not against what someone else you think is doing or mm-hmm. appears to be doing, because that's chasing a very inauthentic model.
So. Right.
So one of the things that when I was listening to you both speak today, I'm really intrigued as you get towards a place of maybe burnt out, because you both touched on that a little bit, and how your story has shaped up and how you both got introduced to each other and the challenge that you were facing in those moments. And I know that you both have relatable leadership stories and you've impacted each other in different ways. When you are in those moments where you're like, maybe this isn't the right decision, or maybe I am leaning a little bit more towards burnt out, who do you grasp your inspiration from? What leaders do you rely on? Or maybe what are some of those traits that you constantly remind yourself of so you can have that dialogue, that internal dialogue, and move forward with the decision or the project or whatever you're working on?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I think about that all the time. I've been so fortunate to have many, many experiences with teachers all over the world. Two of them are my very good friends, but women leaders, and they're entrepreneurs in their own right. And one works with women and reproduction. Another one leads priestess trainings and empowers women. So a lot of women's empowerment in my path. I've also been with a lot of leaders in indigenous communities that just really embody like this strong leadership of feeling connected to everything around them. When I feel burnout, it's because I'm so hyper-focused on the thing, right? And then I just follow that thing almost just to the depths until I'm just driven into the ground. And when I think about, I call them my sisters, right? And I think about my sisters, when I think about the masters that I've been around that have really led me through a lot of growth, like spiritually and emotionally, I just kind of lean into like that, just slow down and remember, right? Like, what are the teachings that bring me through? And I've have kind of a wide base of what those teachings are, but it's reconnect to what's true, reconnect to what's important to me, go reconnect to even the earth. Like, the earth feels like one of the things that I lean into. And
you said earlier about putting your feet in the grass. There is something to be said for that, to kind of have that tactile like feeling.
Yes. And there's science behind it too, because you're connecting with the surface electrons on the earth that literally ground your nervous system. And so when we're burnt out, it's because our nervous systems are fried, like literally fried. That's why they call it burnout. So how do we kind of tap into that parasympathetic, remember, right, all of those influencers around us that would choose differently? And how do I tune into the sensations in my body, really, that say, oh, okay, that's the decision, rather than sending one more email?
Yeah. Understood. And then the person on the receiving end of that email gets a very different experience.
Right.
When you do take time to have that reflection before you send it.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. And Tim, I know you, from a standpoint of gratitude, you'll start your day with what are you grateful for? And you lean a lot into some mentors that you have, both from a physical relationship, meaning that you actually physically get to talk to them on a recurring basis, but you also read a lot. Is there anything that you would pull from, just from the dialogue of as you kind of head or see yourself going towards that burnout phase?
Ah, wow. Yeah. Well, it kind of gets to the rhythm conversation we had, which I've not been as attuned to. And I'd say my rhythm has been more go until you can't go anymore, fall down and then get some rest and start over again. But I'm learning as I get older to be a little wiser there. And I do think, at least for me, Amanda, things that have worked well are that gratitude exercise in the morning. You know, I have prayer time, which also gives me a chance to be reflective because it's followed with some journaling. And it gives me a chance to kind of start my day from the right headspace, heart space. And then it's becoming more aware of the things that lead to burnout, both work-wise and then lack of attentiveness to oneself, and just being much more intentional, back to your Thrive model, Tiffany, being more intentional about making sure that I'm really dialed into having a break. And not just an hour, but I just took some time this past week and honestly did not think it was going to be very restful because I was in 5 cities in 6 days, but I was with people that are really important to me, some of whom I hadn't seen in a long time. And just the energy of being with those people, having some shared experiences, some meals together, some time together was super energizing and refreshing for me. And again, in the past, I would have told myself, oh my gosh, what am I doing? You're going to be in New York, New Jersey, West Virginia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania. You're going to burn yourself out. But I literally came back from that because, again, it was the energy of the people I was with. And again, I put some daily practices in there along the way to make sure I didn't stay up a little too late a couple nights. But it's just being a lot more intentional and giving you a long answer here, Amanda. I'm sorry, but it's an interesting question because it's been on my mind lately, not just for myself, but for you and the whole rest of our team. You know, it's also really, really recognizing what's the mission of what you're trying to accomplish and then what's success really look like, because I think society tells us success is certain elements of different accomplishments. And yet you can look at success not only through the lens, obviously, of getting results, because that is an important part of business, but you can look at success also as, again, people that you're impacting and not feel like you've got to measure it by how much stuff you do. But who you become along the way. And again, as a leader, being very attentive to the reality of the grind that I think everybody in our society is in these days, and trying to pump the brake, pull the throttle back, whatever you want to say, to make sure that everybody around you is taking care of themselves, they're getting the time they need. And again, that's one of the interesting things to me that's going to come out of this whole COVID experience, as I refer to it, is really looking at, again, not just taking better care of ourselves so we don't get COVID, but just taking better care of ourselves so we can be in a relationship that's meaningful, that we can have the energy to do the things that are important to us. And there is clearly an element of health that you can stay healthy. So, interesting time.
And there's legitimate research that proves that productivity increases with intermittent breaks. 40 minutes on, 20 minutes off. Like, you can be way more productive in those 40 minutes if you actually take that break, because it brings your nervous system to activate your parasympathetic and brings down that fight or flight. And when you're in a fight or flight, like, it's hard to get out of, right? And then there's research around task switching. The task switching is like the number one productivity killer.
The myth of multitasking.
But multitasking and task switching. So if you have to go from one thing to a completely different topic in a matter of minutes, right? You don't have a break in the middle. That's powerful too. So it's definitely a cultural mindset that we have to change from.
Well, Amanda, you mentioned reading, because I do read a lot. There are two books I've read just recently that I think also touch on this that have been interesting. One is The Comfort Crisis by Michael Easter, and the other is a book called Breathe by James Nestor. And it's all about breathing and the importance of our respiratory system on our overall health, both mental health, physical health. So again, I think it's also just being more aware of the reality that going until you hit the wall and fall down and then take a break and start it over again is maybe not the best model for sustainable success.
Absolutely. And I think it's really, well, for me, it boils down to being selective of the people, the projects, the experiences, kind of going to your point, Tim, about you were like, oh my goodness, six places in 5 days or whatever that ends up looking like. I mean, at the end of the day, what you're giving your energy to, you need to be intentional about your yes and intentional about your no. And I think a lot of the times, especially as we were talking earlier, in the ways in which you have the feminine and the masculine attributes, as a female, I'll say it for me, I have a harder time saying no than I do saying yes. And so for the remainder of this year, it's a commitment that I've made to myself to be just really intentional with my yes and with my no. And it's taking time to think about, okay, do I want to put my energy there? What is that going to bring back to me overall? Is it helping me achieve everything that I want to achieve? Or is it something I'm just saying yes to because that's the easier path than having the conflict of saying no? Because someone might be disappointed or I might not meet their expectation. Not everything or every person is worth the energy. And I think you have to decide that for yourself. And it's important so you don't get to a place where you're in this constant loop of being burnt out.
Yes. Yeah, that's a huge piece, because you can take a break, but you can do nothing in your break. Or you could talk on the phone while you're on your break. But can you do something that actually resets right? Your nervous system. Can you do something that helps fuel you, right? Either mentally, emotionally, physically, whatever it is. And that those are where the benefits come into play. Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree.
Well, I appreciate the time today, Tiffany. It was good to reconnect with you and see you again and have you as a guest on our podcast. We're going to include some contact information for you in our show notes. Definitely think if there are any women that want to continue the conversation, they can reach out to you and also potentially attend one of your upcoming workshops. So we'll have all the information on that on our show notes. So thank you again for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks so much, Tim. It's always great to talk with you.